Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode 26. Hope you guys had a really good Thanksgiving. I know I did. Got to spend time with family, got to relax. Just a real good time of year. Not only do you get to eat, but you get to fellowship with some family you don't always get to see, so that's always a good time for me. Hey guys, I really appreciate you guys checking us out each and every week. This is actually a bonus podcast. We usually only have a podcast every other week, but because of the amazing interviews that we've been able to get lately, we had to do an extra one this time around. So this one is with Christian hip-hop veteran KJ52. He's got a Pledge Music campaign going on. You can check it out at pledgemusic.com/KJ52. This is a guy that's been around a good while. We talk about that a little bit in the interview. This is his 11th project that he's dropped. This is a guy that has seen quite a bit of Christian hip-hop since he started. And, you know, this is someone I deeply respect. He's been around when Christian hip-hop really wasn't as acceptable as it is now. It definitely wasn't as popular. So I was really excited to talk to him. And so we're just going to get right down to it. Without further ado, here is my interview with KJ52.
All right, hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
Welcome to the island of the misfit toys. Welcome to the island of the misfit toys. Welcome to the island of the misfit toys. Land of the broken girls and boys.
Hey, so I saw you were doing a pledge campaign. It's your 11th project. It's the name of it is going to be Jonah.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about this project and what has been your heart going into this.
Well, I mean, it's my first independent release. You know, times have changed. I think it's just a different day and era. So, you know, you can either adapt with the times or get out. But, I mean, music is still music. People still want music. People still want songs that can touch their lives. And that's still the main thing. I just found, though, at this point in my life, a lot of what I was writing was very either declarative or reflective. You know, I was either declaring something about where I'm at or I was reflecting back on where I'm at. So I think both of those statements are very reflections of your true self, and so that was the reason why to call it my real name, you know.
Yeah. So is this gonna be kind of like a biography of your life, or is it just gonna be just a transparent album, pretty much?
Probably a little of both. I mean, it's not biographical because I think I've already kind of did that record on Behind the Music.
Sure.
So I don't want to retread too much of the same space, even though that's 11 years ago and a whole new group of people listen to me now, you know. But I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, man, it's the first record I've done where people are on the journey as I'm doing it. You know what I mean? So where that finally winds up, you know, we can all kind of get there together.
How has the last few years been for you? As you kind of mentioned, you're transitioning to an independent artist. What has been some of the changes that has been taking place with that?
I mean, not much has changed, I guess you could say. I mean, I'm still kind of doing mostly what I've always been doing, which is, you know, just doing what I do. But I think what's changed is the platforms have changed, you know what I mean? Where it was very kind of focused on youth-driven culture at the beginning. Now, you know, there's just a bigger group of people that listen to hip-hop. So that has changed, definitely. The way people disseminate information is totally different, you know? I think how you have to roll out new music and stuff like different, you know? But other than that, honestly, man, I don't know if things have changed that much. I mean, like, for instance, like, last week I did a... I did, like, a youth group show. I did a business seminar. I did a house party show. And then I did an FCA event. And then next week, or tomorrow, I do a sort of a urban church. And then I do a business event.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, that's really not that different from what I've always been doing. I think what's maybe gone full circle is how I'm doing it, you know? It's kind of returned to where I started in a lot of ways.
Well, how has that been for you as a CHH vet, just watching the industry kind of gain respect over the last few years? How has that been for you as someone that's been around for a while?
I mean, I think overall it's awesome. I mean, it's what we've fought for so long. I think in some ways I'm a little frustrated because I'm like, dang, where were y'all when I needed you 15 years ago? But, I mean, I guess I had to blaze some trails, you know, to maybe knock down some doors so it would happen like that. I don't think at the time I was thinking in those terms. At those times I was just thinking of survival. But I just think it's grown as culture has grown. I mean, it's just that the hip-hop generation is older and they're in more places of power, you know? Hmm.
What were some of the obstacles that you did have to overcome?
Oh, man, dude, you name it. I mean, I think a lot of it was just, there was just a definite lack of understanding of the genre, of the culture, of what it could do. There's a lot of ghettoizing of the culture, meaning, when I say ghettoizing, I mean, like, the original intent of what a ghetto was, which was just meaning you're clustering a group of people into one section. Mm. So there was very much like, yeah, that's cool that you do that, but you got to do it over there, not here. I'm like, why can't we do it over here? It's just as legitimate to do it over here. But they're like, no, we like you better over there. So that's just a big thing. I think also that there wasn't a lot of key people or key tools in place. You know what I'm saying? But hip-hop's always been do-it-yourself. It's been from the bottom up. So we kind of ended up creating our own things. You know what I'm saying?
Do you find yourself, though, like trying to gain respect with the current hip-hop community that kind of still doesn't really know KJ as an artist? Or if they do know him, they kind of know him as kind of the youth group guy or whatever?
I don't even know if those people are around anymore, to be honest with you. I think anybody that would still have issue with me has either moved on to something else, or they're just too old to even care. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. People tend to, after time, they kind of forget what they're even mad at you about.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of me sticking around as long as I have, I think there's been a degree of just like, well, he's still here, we might as well start to like him. But I'll be honest with you, man, my goal was never to be, maybe at the beginning it was, but it never was to be confined to just the Christian hip-hop genre. I made a conscious effort to look beyond that because I knew that there was more opportunities outside of it. I knew that there was more things to do. I felt like it was too small and too confining. So I made my bed. I got to lay in it. If whatever somebody's perception is, then I take full responsibility of that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I think, though, at this point, there's not really anybody left from when I came in. There's maybe, you could count on your hand how many people are left. So I think maybe those people, you know, people just go, well, dang, you've just survived, you know?
Mm.
How can I not respect that? But I, honestly, man, I could care less. It's not on my radar. It's not on my issue. I got way too many things to do and too many platforms to work with that for me to be even remotely be concerned about that stuff.
One of the things that you talk about a lot in your music and your past is being a white guy in hip-hop and just some of the things you had to overcome to gain kind of respect in that community. As it's kind of transitioned over the years to where a lot of current hip hop is about, like, racial reconciliation. Where do you find yourself in that whole thing?
Well, that's a great question. I don't think I've changed what I've talked about. I think I've always talked about issues of race. I've tried to talk about it from my own perspective just because I think you're better off talking about your own angle, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think what you're seeing as far as racial reconciliation is really coming from black rappers who have felt like they haven't been given a platform. And now, because everybody has the microphone, they are just going to speak up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the best way I could compare it to. But I think that's also just a reflection of what's going on in our culture, period. I think a lot of times hip-hop, or Christian hip-hop for that matter, is just reflecting what is happening already. I mean, I grew up in an era where the hip-hop artists I loved talked about race more than ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a very militant pro-black stance in the secular rap that I listen to. And it was somewhat of reflected in the Christian rap I listen to, too. It's just that most people haven't been around that long to remember that. But I just think it's, I don't know if it's something new as much as it's just a mirror image. But what I've tried to do, I've tried to facilitate conversation. Maybe that's through a song, maybe that's through a video chat, maybe that's through a statement, you know. A lot of times it's really just through action, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I think action speaks way more than anything.
How do we, I know Lecrae has talked about it recently, that he's just been discouraged with how people have treated him, kind of pushing back against that. How do we react when people kind of push back against the whole notion that there is a problem?
I would just say you can build bridges or you can burn bridges. That's really up to every individual. You know what I'm saying? How you steward your platform will either always be burning a bridge or building a bridge. So if you just leave it at that statement and think about it, if you burn the bridge, all I can really do is yell at you from the other side of the bridge. Some people might still try to cross the water, but most people are just going to stand on the other side of the bridge and yell back. If I build a bridge, that means I found a place that doesn't have a way across, and I'm making steps towards doing that. Now, I am not saying this applies to Lecrae or anyone else, or anyone. I'm just saying that's my philosophy of how I approach these things. So if someone is saying, here's my issue, here's my problem, I'm going to say, how can I build a bridge to make me understand what you're talking about?
That's an awesome way of putting it.
Well, but see, that takes, but think about even at that analogy, building a bridge takes effort.
Yeah.
It takes way more effort to build a bridge than it takes to burn one down.
It takes a lot of patience, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it takes time, and it takes money, and it takes effort, and it takes seeing a bigger picture. And even when you build a bridge, it doesn't mean people are going to appreciate it. They just go across it, you know?
Yeah. If you had to give yourself advice, go back in time to when you were breaking into the music business, and you could give yourself advice, what would you tell yourself?
Well, actually, that is the third verse on the song I wrote called Hold On.
Oh, nice teaser.
That's exactly what I say on the third verse. It's written to three parts of my life. First part is my, you know, my younger years. My second part is my teenage years. The third part is to myself in my 20s, embarking on the music.
So, what would you tell yourself?
Gotta listen to the song, man.
Gotcha.
I can't say it as good as I said it in the song.
Gotcha. One last question. I know DJ Official was very important in your life, and I know you just painted a mural that was just absolutely beautiful. What did he mean to you, not only as a musician, but also as a friend?
Well, it goes back to what I just said. He actually was that bridge builder, and that's the biggest thing, I think, is that a lot of the relationships I had, going back to the Christian hip-hop side, actually came from him. you know, I had casual relationships with a lot of people, but Fish actually made the sort of behind the scenes effort to make things happen. There's multiple collaborations that happened because of him, because he worked sort of in both worlds. And I don't know if maybe to both worlds is a good example, but I'm just saying he worked in my world and in multiple worlds, you know, on the Christian hip hop side. So that was always the thing. And I guess, you know, honestly, man, we were just very similar in our, like, our not just love for hip hop, but like the deeper, nerdiest, subterranean, underground recesses of the genre. Just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you don't really find a lot of people like that, that you can talk about that. It's like finding someone else that, like, you know, has six toes on their foot. And you're like, you have six toes too? No way. You know, not that I have six toes, but that's just what I'm, you know, that's kind of what he was. And it's not like we talked every day or anything like that. It's just that when we were together or we did shows or I brought him out or we kicked it or whatever, you just, there was just an immediate connection, you know. And it, and honestly, man, it goes all the way back to probably earlier than 2000, before I even knew him. There's a guy that he used to roll with by the name of Cypher Sounds, who I had met back in like 96, maybe 97, I can't remember, maybe 98, back in my Sons of Intellect days. And he had told me about this guy that, like, he used to roll with, and then he got saved and he didn't want to do secular rap anymore. And I come to find a couple years later that that was DJ Fishel he was talking about. And Cypher Sounds has gone on to do, you know, some huge things.
Yeah. That's great, man. Hey, do you want to say one last thing about your Pledge Music campaign?
Just please check it out. I think there's something on there that everybody would dig. You know, the cool thing is I'll be releasing a lot of very exclusive stuff just to those that pledge, that that I've held on to. Honestly, I've held on to almost 20 years of my career. There's things that I'm going to be releasing on there. So I'm excited about it. Super excited.
Sweet, man. Hey, thank you for your time. You have a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too, Gabe. Appreciate you, man.
All right, man. Take care. Sitting in detention, feeling like the Breakfast Club. Staring at my desk, wishing that I had a hug. I wouldn't pay attention, but what I pay for love. When you're searching for some hope, man, the junk's a drug. Awkward introvert, really. That was KJ52, and we would really like to thank him for the time for that interview. He's a great guy that I, as I said before, I deeply respect. Hey, this podcast is for the fans and by the fans. I don't make any claims that I'm some kind of music insider. So a lot of times when I'm talking to these guys, I'm doing so as a fan, someone that's listened to these guys for a long time. And, you know, KJ's been around for a good while. I remember when he broke in the early 2000s or so when he was signed, and it was something that just grabbed my ears when he first came out. And him and John Rubin came out around the same time, and this was an era in Christian hip-hop where it was kind of starting to be accepted. I mean, you had guys like Grits and the Cross Movement, but coming out of the 90s, there wasn't a whole lot still that really sold anyway. You know, you didn't see Christian music festivals really booking these artists up until the time that KJ and John Rubin came out, and all, along with that, Grits and Cross Movement and a couple others. I've seen KJ play on a lot of big stages over the course of his career. I actually saw him play Jesus Freak with the Newsboys at Creation East, and this was the Newsboys' first Creation East date with Michael Tate. That was a big deal for the Newsboys, and for them to call on KJ to do that, to do a song like Jesus Freak, that goes a long way for me, because that just shows what kind of stock that people put with KJ. I think he's a guy that has been around a long time. He's seen a lot. I think sometimes he's unfairly been booked kind of as a sideshow when it comes to things. But I think that's kind of been the evolution of Christian hip-hop as well. I think Christian hip-hop has morphed into what it is today, in a large part because there's a lot of people that grew up with KJ, and now they're in the leadership roles, and they allow their kids now to listen to hip-hop. And it's just what KJ has done has allowed hip-hop to be more accepted in the Christian community. For whatever reason, it's taken this long, I don't know. I mean, that can be a conversation that could go on and on and on. And I, quite frankly, I don't really want to talk about all of that on my own, because that's a lot to talk about. Anyway, guys, hey, you guys need to check out this Pledge Music campaign. It's at pledgemusic.com/KJ52. Last time I checked, he's about halfway there to his goal. He's only had this open for about 2 weeks. So it might be something that you guys want to get for a friend with Christmas on the horizon. There's a lot of really good deals with this. We didn't talk about it a whole lot, but he's releasing a lot of really cool stuff. He's releasing some never before heard stories about the Dear Slim song, the song that famously was played on TRL and people said was a dig to Eminem. And you know, KJ has gone on the record as saying no, that's not a dig to Eminem. I know that's one of the things that he's offered with this Pledge Music campaign. There's a lot of other unreleased stuff that he's releasing. I just saw today that he is releasing a song with Propaganda and Derek Minor, two guys that I love. And so a lot of really good stuff. You guys need to check that out. Again, it's pledgemusic.com/KJ52. While you're online, hey, check us out on decentchristiantalk.com. If you could give us a buck or two when you go there, there's a donate button on the right-hand side of the website. We would greatly appreciate it. That helps fund our podcast. We are also on Twitter, DC Talk Act 2. That's DCTALKACT, the number 2. And we're also on Facebook. We've got a page on there, and we also have a new discussion group on there that we just started a few weeks ago. You might want to check that out. Hey guys, greatly appreciate you guys checking us out. If you could drop us a nice review on iTunes, if you haven't already, subscribe to us on there as well. We would greatly appreciate that. Hey, we've got a podcast coming out next week with one of my favorite bands in the entire world, Project 86. I guess I'm going to have a chance to sit down with lead vocalist Andrew Schwab. He's one of my favorite lyricists of all time. This guy he's got some chops, let me tell you. But that's next week. Be on the lookout for that. Thank you again for checking us out. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.